that confession is good for the soul. So today I am going to begin with confession. Do I have your attention? In my preaching, sometimes I get a little wordy. I can be a little verbose. For those of you that do not know what that means, it means that I can get a little long-winded. I can be redundant and repeat myself, maybe a little bit too much. Boy, it feels good. I feel like now I can preach for about 2 hours. Confession is good for the soul. 5 minutes. I can be redundant in my preaching. But you know, folks, the Holy Spirit is never redundant. The Holy Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit says something, when it is recorded in the Word of God, that means it's important. If the Holy Spirit repeats it, it's very important. But if the Holy Spirit repeats it 4 times, that means it must have some kind of special significance. There's only one specific miracle that Jesus Christ did that's repeated in all 4 of the Gospels. This miracle is repeated. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Must be pretty important. That's the only one. What miracle am I talking about? The feeding of the 5,000. Take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 14 and verses 13 through 21, because there we find this miracle that's repeated in all 4 of the Gospels. Only one. And this is it. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Jesus, folks, has been ministering in Galilee for some time now. He's been preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And as he is preaching and performing miracles, opposition has grown. And even when he returned to his own hometown of Nazareth, you remember? Remember what happened? Even his own hometown folks rejected him. He came to his own received him not. Jesus put it this way: a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household, in his own family. They rejected him. But Jesus was ministering and continued to minister. I mean, from early in the morning to late at night, he and his disciples were busy. I mean, busy, busy, busy. To the point that the Bible says over in Mark chapter 6, they were so busy, there were so many people coming to them with so many needs that there were times when they didn't even have time enough to eat. I mean, they were busy. And they were tired. They became tired. They were exhausted. And then Jesus gets news that John the Baptist has been martyred. And he says to his disciples, "You know what, guys? We need to come apart. We need to get away a little bit. We need to come apart a little while for some rest." You know, sometimes you need rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing to do is rest. Not while I'm preaching, but other times. But Jesus says, "Come apart." You know what? If you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart. There's times, you ever been there? Where you just get that tired? Well, this is where Jesus and his disciples were. And this is where we pick up our portion of scripture today. Look at verse 13 of chapter 14. "Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides the women and children. Now, folks, from this passage, we find out that God is a compassionate God. And you know what? God is so compassionate. He wants to meet the needs of people, of hurting people. But what I want us to see in this passage this morning is how he does that. What he does, how he wants to meet needs of people that are hurting all around us. He wants to take ordinary people, people kind of like you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And through ordinary people, he wants to meet extraordinary needs of people around us. I want us to see this morning. He wants to use ordinary people to meet overwhelming needs of hurting people around us. First of all, look with me this morning, verses 13 and 14, at the compassion of Jesus for the needs of the people. Again, it says here, when he heard of the martyrdom of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And well, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get away. He had said, "We need some R&R. Let's get away." But the people saw where he was going. They kind of saw the direction, and they ran, and they get there before Jesus gets there. So by the time he gets the boat and pulls into shore, what's he find? This large crowd of people. Large crowd of people. And you remember that, you know what, Jesus was, he was exhausted. He was tired. The disciples were tired. He was exhausted. There were a lot of needy people in his day. And he gets there. And I thought about this. You know, working with people can be exhausting. Do you know that? If you've ever taken care of someone who's sick for an extended period of time, it's exhausting. Or if you have taken care of an elderly person and tried to provide their needs, or let me just say, you parents, you moms, dealing with needy children, it can just drain you working with needy people. I talked to a pastor just within the last 2 weeks, and we were talking, and he started talking about how many needy people, and how in the ministry that it's exhausting. He said, "But you know what? My wife is a social worker." And he said, "You know what? We go home at night, and the phone rings." And a lot of times, you know, it's somebody for me, it's calling for the pastor. But more often, it's somebody calling for my wife. She's bombarded, even at home, bombarded with the needs of people. And I'm going to tell you, people, working with people can drain someone. And here's Jesus. He's drained. We've got to remember, yeah, he was God in the flesh, but he was a human. He had human needs. He got tired. And he's tired. He's going, we're going on vacation now, guys. Come apart. We're going to get some rest. And what's he find? A whole mess of people that have needs. So what's his attitude toward them? Oh, no. I'm trying to get away, and here they are again. No, that's not his attitude. He didn't look at the people as a burden. He didn't look at the people as one more problem, and I'm just going to... No. The text says he looked on the people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he felt compassion for them. He felt compassion for them. The word compassion means to be moved in your guts. That's what that word means, to be moved in your guts. When he saw these people, he saw them and he was moved inside with compassion. And what did he do? He ministered to them. He ministered. He started, okay, you know, you brought these people to me, God. He started to minister. What compassion. What compassion. Folks, you know, there's a lot of hurting people today. They just weren't back in Jesus' day. They're all around us. Do we see them? Do we see them? You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just seeing them more today or if there's just multiple problems today. But people are all around us with all kinds of needs. All kinds of needs. How do I look at them? Do I think, oh no, another problem? Do I look at my caller ID and say, oh, it's so-and-so. I'm not answering this one. Or do we see them the way Jesus saw? Do we see them with the eyes of Christ? As distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd? Do we have the compassion of Christ? Do we have that kind of compassion? You know what God wants us to do, every one of us that are saved? He wants us to put on a heart of compassion, Scripture says. He wants us to see people around us the way he saw them. Now, look with me at the solution of the disciples for the needs of the people. Look at verse 15 now. It says, when it was evening, Jesus had been ministering, I think, a good part of the day. The disciples came to him. Now, they came to Jesus because, folks, they perceived another need of this crowd of people that was gathered there. And it was a big need. There's this huge crowd of people. Verse 21 says that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. Some estimate that this crowd could have reached up to 25,000 people. 25,000. And the place was desolate. Now, do you know how desolate it was? Let me tell you how desolate it was. There was no McDonald's close by. Now I say that, I know it's hard to believe. But there was no McDonald's anywhere around. I've been to 17 countries outside of the United States. And do you know what? I believe, now there may have been one that there wasn't a McDonald's, but I think all of them, there was a McDonald's. And when I was in the Philippines, I'll never forget this. We went out and we were driving and we came to a small town way out in the boonies, and we're driving down the street, and what did I see? Golden Arches, you got it. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I said, No, you've got to be kidding me. And it was the Golden Arches. And we stopped. And I went in and had a burger. I have a sneaking suspicion it wasn't a hamburger. But I didn't ask. It was the ask not, tell not policy. It tasted a little strange. They didn't have Coke and Pepsi. You know what they had? Guava juice and pineapple juice. That was good. But it was a McDonald's. But this place, there were no McDonald's around. That is desolate. That's desolate. And the hour was late. It would be dark soon, and all the places to get food would be closing, and Pizza Hut didn't deliver in this area. So the disciples come to Jesus with this problem. The people, Jesus, have no food. Everything will be closing soon. There's none around. So they say, here's our solution. Send them away. Send them away. Send the crowds away. Let them go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Well, that kind of seems reasonable. You know, logical solution for solving the problem. They have a need, Jesus. Just let them go to the village. Let them buy some food. Meet their own need. And I thought about that and I thought, well, probably for some in that crowd, that would have been a good solution. But what about the people in the crowd that didn't have any money? And I'm sure, out of all those people, there were people in that crowd that had nothing. What about them? You know, it's very easy, when there are so many needs around us, just to dismiss the needs or the people that have the needs. Especially when we are exhausted. It's hard to go out of our way to help. It's easier just to say, go away. Send them away. Also, I think sometimes we have a tendency to do something like that because of all the people out there that are playing the system. You know what I mean? You know, there's people out there that think that they should be taken care of and you should give them your money. And they have no responsibility for that and you owe them. And so they play the system. And sometimes we get burnt and we get taken. And so it's just easy to just say, go away. Send them away. Go buy food for yourself. And then I think there's other times when we just get, I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed with all the needs. I mean, my, oh, my, oh, my. I look around and there's needs here, needs there, needs there, needs there. This person has needs, that person. And I just say, Lord, what can I do? I can't even scratch the surface. Send them away. Send them away. And that's what the disciples said. Lord, send them away. That was their solution to the needs. But I want you to note that Jesus didn't go for that solution. Jesus had a better idea. Look at Jesus' solution in verses 16 through 21. The solution of Jesus for the needs of the people. Jesus' solution, he said, they don't have to go away. You give them something. You give them something to eat. Now, folks, what do you think, right when Jesus said that, what do you think the disciples are thinking? Yeah, you've been up too long. You've been working too hard, Lord. You've been out in the sun too long. What? Us? Don't you you see this multitude? Don't you? There are 25,000 people here, Lord. What are you talking about? In fact, one of the disciples said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Get 200 denarii and go out and buy enough food to give this people something to eat? 200 denarii, a denarii was one day's wage. So that'd be 200 days' wages. Just put it in our terms. If you make $30,000 a year, what do you want us to do, Lord? Take $20,000 and go out and buy food for them? Lord, if we did that and took $20,000, went out and bought food, we wouldn't have enough to buy each person a one Arby's sandwich off the dollar menu. We got a problem here, Lord. And the problem is communication. You give them something to eat? That's crazy talk. Jesus said, no. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Now, let me just make a couple comments on this. First of all, let me just say, God's commandments are his enablements. If he commands you to do something, he will enable you to do it. God is not limited by my limitations. He is not limited by human limitations. And God desires to use ordinary people like you to meet extraordinary needs around us. He wants to do that. You know, he didn't look out in the crowd and say, okay, guys, hey, excuse me, are there any Bill Gates in the house? Any Bill Gates? Any Warren Buffets? I mean, Buffets. Warren Buffet could provide all the... Are there any Bill Gates in the house? He didn't say that. He said, you give them something to eat. But Lord, me? Yeah, you. You give them something to eat. He didn't look for the superstar. He didn't look for somebody that had all this means. He said it to ordinary people. How do we do it, God? How do we do it, Lord? Well, Jesus tells them how to do it. There's steps, Jesus' steps to meet the needs. And there's five steps. I think this is beautiful. Listen, watch this. First of all, Jesus commands them to bring what they have to him. In fact, Jesus asks, what do you have? What are your resources? Mark 6:38, he says that. What do you have? He said, Lord, we just have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, I thought about that. Why did he even ask them that? You know why he asked them that? I think he wanted them to see that they didn't have much. They didn't have much. He wanted us to see that you do not need to be a Bill Gates. You don't need to be a Warren Buffett. It's not even about your resources. Bring them here to me. Bring what you have to me. And then number 2, Jesus blesses what they bring. He blesses what they bring. Verse 19, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. He blessed it. I'll tell you what, when Jesus blesses something, it's totally transformed. It's totally transformed. If he blesses your life, your life's totally transformed. If you're blessed by the best man, he blesses your family, totally transformed. He blesses whatever you have, he will transform it. If he blesses a church, it becomes a beacon of light in the community and all around the world. all around the world. Jesus' blessing, it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So he says, bring it here to me. Bring what you have to me. He blesses what they bring, and then he breaks what he blesses. And breaking the loaves, you see, before the bread and the fish could be shared with others, they had to be broken. They were broken. Mark 6 says he divided the fish. He broke the fish, broke the loaves. Then number 4, he broadens what he breaks. He broadens what he breaks. In the text, it says he gave them. But over in Mark 6:41, it says he kept giving them. He kept giving the bread and giving the fish and giving the bread and giving the fish. He kept giving and giving and giving. This is a miracle of multiplication. A miracle of multiplication. He kept giving. This was one of only 2 miracles in the New Testament where Jesus creates something out of something. You remember the other one was in Cana of Galilee. He took water and made it into wine. Now he takes bread and makes it into more bread, and takes fish and makes it into more fish. It's a miracle of multiplication. He broadens what he breaks, and then he bestows what he broadens. And I want you to see how he did this. Note, Jesus didn't do this and then get a basket and walk through the crowd and pass it out himself. He didn't say, everybody, line up. Come to me and I will give this to you. Didn't do that. He didn't do that. It says, the text says, he gave it to his disciples and they gave it to the crowds. Do you see it? He did this because you remember what he commanded. He said what? You give them something to eat. You give it to them. Lord, we don't have anything. We just have like 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It doesn't matter what we have. Jesus blessed it and broke it and broadened it and then bestowed it and said, you distribute it. Oh, this is how God did it. And God today wants to use ordinary people, people like you and me, to meet desperate needs, overwhelming needs of hurting people. And you know what he says to us this morning? Do you know any people around you that are desperate and hurting? Do you see them? Do you have the eyes of Christ? You know what God's saying to you this morning? You give them something to eat. How am I going to do that, Lord? How am I going to meet that need? God does the same thing. I want you to see this. How does God do that through us? Same steps. First of all, we must obey his command to bring what we have to Jesus. You say, Pastor, I don't have much. Doesn't matter. My life is not really, I'm no superstar. I'm no Dr. David Jeremiah. I know that comes to a shock as to you. I'm no Billy Graham. Bring your little life to Jesus. Yeah, but I don't have very much money. I'm certainly not Bill Gates. Doesn't matter. Bring your little bit of money to Jesus. Yeah, but I don't have talents. I don't have a lot of talent. Doesn't matter. Bring what you have to Jesus. And I don't have much time. I've got to be working all the time, Pastor. I'm busy, and bring your little bit of time to Jesus. Bring your time, your talent, your treasure, your life. He says, bring it to me. Then you know what he'll do? He blesses what you bring. He blesses. And when he blesses your life, your finances, your family, your talents, your time, he blesses. You know what happens? It's transformed. It's transformed. He transforms it with his blessing. And then what does he do? He breaks what he blesses. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I love the blessings of God. Don't you love the blessings of God? The blessings of God are nice. The breakings of God are necessary. Yes. Hear me now. What we bring to him, he breaks. We bring our life to him and say, Lord, I'm not much, but you got me. I'm bringing my little to you. Then he's got to break. It's nice to have the blessings. It's necessary to have the breakings. He's got to break us of pride. He's got to break us of selfishness. He's got to break us of self-centeredness. He's got to break us of sin. And if we're not broken, he can't use us. But I want you to note something. When that bread was broken, where was it? It was in his hands. It was never closer to Jesus than when it was being broken. And some of you are being broken. Some of you are in the being broken stage. He's not breaking you to damage you. He's breaking you to make you more useful in meeting the needs of others. But if you're there, you're in his hands. We bring what we have to Jesus. He blesses what we bring. He breaks what he blesses. Then he broadens what he breaks. He takes... How does he do this? But he takes my little and makes it much. Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Oh, that's so beautiful. And then he bestows it what he broadens. He bestows it. He uses us. He uses us. He uses our little bit to make a big impact. God uses ordinary people to meet desperate, overwhelming needs of hurting people around us. Didn't he do it here? By the way, who got blessed in our account? Well, Bible says all the people, 25,000 people got blessed. They all ate and were what? Filled. They were filled. They were satisfied. Wasn't just a hamburger off the dollar menu. They ate as much as they wanted. They were all satisfied. The people got blessed. Who else got blessed? The disciples got blessed. There were 12 baskets left over. 12 baskets left over. One for each of the disciples. You know what? When you let God use you, and when you let the blessings of God flow through you, by the way, you've been blessed to be a blessing. I want you to come back Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve service, I'm inviting you back because it's a blessed service. But I want to do a message, blessed to be a blessing. That's why God blesses us. But when we allow His blessings to come out through us, we bestow those blessings, we get blessed. They were blessed, 12 baskets full, one for each of the disciples. You know what's more blessed to give than to receive? They were blessed. You know who else was blessed? Jesus was blessed. Because when He sees His blessings flowing through you, through His followers, He's blessed. Everybody wins. That's how God works. God says, bring what you have. You say, I don't got much, Lord. Doesn't matter. Bring what you have to me. He blesses what we bring. He breaks what He blesses. He broadens what He breaks. Then He bestows what He broadens through ordinary people. I'm going to ask you in a minute if you will come, if God puts it on your heart, only if God puts it on, and come here and say, God, I don't have much, but what I got, it's yours. Time, talent, treasures. I want to be one of those people that you use to meet the needs of others. I'm coming just to dedicate time, talent, treasures, my little bit to you. Back several years ago, and I'm going to end with this, Stanibel Hall wrote a song called Ordinary People. It goes like this. Oh, just like the little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and loaves of bread. What we have may not seem much, but when it's yielded to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you will understand how your life could never be the same. And then the chorus, just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people like you, me and you, who will do what He commands. God uses people that will give Him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Lord, thank you. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you don't use just superstars, because probably none of us here, certainly I would not qualify to be used by you. I'm so thankful you use ordinary people and you do extraordinary things, Lord. And we just can stand back and say, oh my, look what God did. Lord, I just pray that every one of us would be yielded to you. I pray that every one of us, and I pray right now, I just say, Lord, take my little bit, whatever it is, Lord, my little life, my little talents, my little treasure, money. Lord, I yield it to you. Just surrender all, Lord. It's all yours. Lord, please use it to help people, Lord. They're all around us, God. They're desperate. Use us, Lord. I pray you'd fall on us, Holy Spirit. I pray for the people of Faith Bible. I thank you for so many of them that are yielded to you and want to be used by you. I just pray we'd make this a time of dedication where we could just say, Lord, I surrender all. Use me, Lord. God, you're great. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said,
amen. Amen.